Ahoy, hoy, America. It's the Loftus Party.
Smithers.
You have found it. I love saying ahoy, hoy. That's how Alexander Graham Bell wanted people to answer the phone when he invented. I love fun to know facts, right? I live for that. But yeah, on The Simpsons, ahoy, hoy. But the ahoy, hoy, it's not some, I thought it was like Polynesian or Samoan or something. No, that's just how Alexander Graham Bell thought it would be a cool way to answer the phone.
Never caught on.
We got to bring it back. I swear we got to bring it back. I'm going to start answering my phone. Ahoy, hoy. But it's like, seriously, say ahoy, hoy, Andrew.
Ahoy, hoy.
Yep, you sound a little bit like, you say it, Jason.
Ahoy, hoy.
Like, it's one of those words that no matter how hard you try, you sound a little bit like what's this guy from The Simpsons?
All right, Mr. Burns. Yes,
Mr. Burns. Yeah, I don't know why I wanted to say Smithers.
Why do you answer the phone like that, Mr. Burns?
I don't know. just keeps people in their place.
Put some more money on the fire.
Of course, sir.
Oh.
I had the dream again last night, sir.
It's so...
The one where you fly in through the room.
Oh, Smithers.
All right. Ahoy,
I'm jealous you got to hang with Sam Simon, though.
Dude.
Like, that was a friend of yours.
I think I told the story. It makes me sad. I miss him. I really do. He's been gone for a while. I miss him to this day.
Yeah.
Talking politics would have been so much fun with that guy. And yeah, you got to give it up for Mr. Burns. That was like my favorite thing. I didn't like expect anything from the estate of Sam. But the one thing, if I could pick one thing, it would be that piece of artwork where they had Mr. Burns all figured out, and he was going to look like this 1930s. Sam told the show he's told the story on the flip side where it looked like an Edward G. Robinson, blah blah blah. And Sam, they were ready to go into production, just wrote like no, buy it, and you know, put an X over it, and then just drew Mr. Burns the way. And I'm like, why did you change it? And he goes, well, we just always thought he was more of like a hunched over, like vulture bird guy. And he was very humble about the whole thing. But man, oh man, yeah, it's a great character.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Seriously, make sure to go to the YouTube page, youtube.com/theflipsideloftus. Go watch that interview. It's up there. Sam Simon, I didn't know him personally, but you get everything that you're saying about
him.
He was just the nicest guy.
And he wasn't like really, I mean, he was still making a lot of money off The Simpsons. I remember one day we were taking a break from writing over at Anger Management, and Sam and I are outside. I'm having a smoke, and he's having a cigar. And there was something about The Simpsons. It just got renewed for another blah, 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 blah. And I said to Sam, I'm like, wow, God bless those guys. God bless those writers coming up with stories. Because that show, they got to be done. And he looked at me like, are you doing a bit? Is this a joke? And I said it again. I'm like, yeah, they got to be done.
How many seasons was it?
I don't know.
It was a lot.
We're close to 30 seasons at this point.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's nuts.
And I'm like, they got to be out of stories. And Sam like looks at me and he realizes I'm not joking. He's like, no, there's a ton of stories. There are tons of, and he was completely serious. And I'm like, okay, well, that...
All the characters and all the plot lines you could make around the characters, I think he's right. You could probably do it a long time, couldn't you?
They have.
And
I mean,
they will continue.
But it's a cartoon. Yeah. You could literally do anything. You don't need to...
Well, that's the wonderful thing about that.
If you want him to go to Mars, you could do it. You know, and it's not even a big deal.
And also, it's not like Full House where, you know, the kids are inevitably getting older. They want to go to college.
You have to build a set. You have to do all this with the cartoon. Just whatever.
And you saw the whole thing that happened with Harry Shearer. It's like, he was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm going to be in London. I'm doing my TV show there. And they called him up. It's like, all right, we'll pay you this much money, and you can phone in your voices literally.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. It's all good. It's all good. I think the Simpsons people are okay.
Yeah.
I think those actors are going to be okay. I'm not too worried about those guys.
Yeah.
You know what show I miss? You ever see Jiminy Glick?
Yes.
I never saw it.
Oh, my gosh. Go back and find some Jiminy Glicks. He was, what's this guy from Second City Television?
Martin Short.
Martin Short. And he would wear this fat suit.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, my God in heaven. He interviewed Steven Spielberg one time. I don't know if Steven Spielberg knew
that it was
Martin,
not.
But he's just like, so Steven Spielberg, When are you going to make a movie for the masses? Like something everyone. Just so funny. Okay, there's a lot of news. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Loftus Party. Lots of great stuff going on. This is the companion show to the syndicated television show, The Flip Side, with yours truly. And like with the syndicated show, we got to kind of keep it evergreen. This is the rip from the headlines show. This is what's going on this week. I want to talk about the Trump sweep. You know, the big, he got lots and lots. What, he picked up five states?
Yeah, he got, there were five states that voted last Tuesday.
Last Tuesday.
They keep calling it Super Tuesday, but it's Super like the Tuesday. Fourth Super Tuesday.
Yeah, there can only be one had. Super Tuesday. You can't have 19 Super Tuesdays.
No. Sure you can. This is America, dude.
You could have like a wonderful Tuesday, a great Tuesday, a pretty good Tuesday.
It's like if the Tuesdays don't keep getting better and better and better.
What about a Super Duper Tuesday?
That's what I was just thinking. The first one should be Super Tuesday. Then it should be like a Super Duper Tuesday. Then the Super Ooper Duper.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm Brian Williams. This is NBC. It's Super De Duper Uber Duper. It'd be so silly. It'd be awesome. I'm Tom Brokaw reporting live from Super De Duper Flooper Glooper. Gooper Gooper. That would be fantastic. Here's the thing that I thought was amazing about it. The amazing thing. Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Every county.
Yep.
That's huge. I've never seen that before.
No.
Now, I can't, like, this is probably the first time I've really looked that closely, but they're like, Trump has won every county. Mm-hmm. That is a victory.
Yes.
That's
a stomping.
On that show, American Ninja Warrior, they're trying to get to Mount Midoriyama and achieve total victory over the course. Donald Trump got to Mount Midoriyama in Pennsylvania. Total victory!
And, you know, they're saying he got more Republican votes than any in history.
Yeah.
He's saying that. I mean, it's not really a fair comparison because normally by this point, everyone else has dropped out. So we don't have numbers.
I think it is historic turnout that like more people have already taken place. More Republicans have cast votes already than in any other primary.
And
so
he does deserve credit because he's gotten more than 50% in every single one of the states that he won.
Like, yeah, sure. And then you've got all the Ted Cruz people showing up. Like, we got to vote to stop Donald Trump. So I just think it's inspiring a lot of people to go and cast a ballot,
which is good for democracy, which is good for America. Yay. I don't know why I said it like that.
So I thought that was pretty amazing. We're coming up. We got Tuesday coming up. Super duper glooper duper Tuesday.
Super duper Tuesday.
In Indiana. What happened last night in Arizona?
Oh.
Somebody hooked me up with the old delegate switcheroo. A little game of musical chairs on the delegates. This is what America hates right here. Hit me up, Andrew Apple.
So essentially, whenever you win an election, a certain number of delegates are pledged to you in the primary.
Hallelujah. Praise Jesus.
But then you have to go out and you actually have to find
someone.
Did
someone say Jesus? I'm Ted Cruz. I love Jesus.
All right. We all do. All right.
Not as much as me.
So you win. Stop. Stop it right now. So you win. You get these delegates and they're like, so the majority of people voted for Donald Trump in my state, Arizona, right?
Yes. And then the job then becomes, well, okay, now I need to go find someone to physically stand in and be that delegate to
but
cast
I thought
a vote.
Delegate, I thought a delegate was an elected official.
It is, but
okay.
You have to find someone.
So wait, the guy who is elected to be a delegate,
yes,
now has to go find another guy?
Yes.
Why isn't that guy
That's
the
right?
delegate?
What are we voting
I'm so confused.
Seriously, I voted for the dude.
I have no idea.
They hire people who specialize.
This cannot be true.
So then,
this cannot be true. You mean to tell me.
What the hell?
This is crazy talk.
I have no idea what's happening.
So you get a delegate, and like, I am the official delegate.
Locked in.
And you're like, dude, I want President SpongeBob SquarePants.
Okay.
And he's like, you got it. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready.
And then what?
I got to go get Patrick to stand in line.
No, this is Patrick.
Is this the Krusty Krab?
No.
So wait, so
this
now
is Patrick.
Ted Cruz is going
so
back.
Wait a minute. So here's what, because I saw on MSNBC this morning,
yeah,
it's like Jan Brewer lost her mind.
Yeah.
Like something happened. Something big happened in Arizona where I think all these delegates, all these SpongeBobs
are switching.
That are supposed to vote for Donald Trump because he won.
Well, they are basically Ted Cruz's game in getting people to physically be delegates has been much stronger than Donald Trump's this entire time, hands down. So when the delegates were physically chosen in Arizona, even though on the first ballot, everyone is obligated to vote for the person who won, which is Donald Trump.
Okay.
When they become unbound, they have all said they're going to vote for Ted Cruz because Ted Cruz got them in there.
Okay. Well, then, you know, that's...
I have no idea. I don't know what's
Here's
happening.
Here's the deal. It's like, listen, County Z voted for Donald Trump. So the delegate from County Z is obligated to, in the convention, cast his delegate vote for Donald Trump. However, if Trump doesn't get to, you know, the magic number, the guy's like, hey, Ted Cruz, don't worry about it. I got you on the second ballot.
So if the Dallas Cowboys are playing the Green Bay Packers and the Packers score 3 touchdowns and Dallas scores no touchdowns, at the end of the game, Dallas can go, some of those touchdowns, actually, we have our men standing in for those touchdowns, and they're going to go to us. And now,
but it's not a touchdown.
Yeah.
See, like, your metaphor works like this. The Packers are playing the Cowboys.
Okay.
The Cowboys have the ball, and they've got it down at the 1 yard line now.
Okay.
They've driven 99 yards. They got to get over the one. And they've got another play coming in. And then the Green Bay Packer says, listen, we checked with the refs, and we are going to put the ball in a different place. And you're like, what? You're not allowed to move the ball. Well, actually, yes, it says so. There's a sub rule here that says the ref, because you didn't actually score a touchdown, you only got it to the one, we get to re-kick again, and you get the ball now at the 5.
That would make football incredibly frustrating to watch.
Much like politics is.
Well, you know what? It's part of, like, it's the game. I guess when you explain it that way and you think about it that way, Ted Cruz is just, it's the smart thing to do. It's like, listen, hey, you guys, hey, Patrick, come here.
What is it, Ted?
Listen, I know you guys have to vote for Trump on the first one.
That's right, we do. That's the law.
But on the second one, how about you throw it to old Ted Cruz?
Okay, we'll do, boss.
I don't think it's going to work. I honestly think Trump's got this thing on the first ballot. It's going to happen. And Trump will steamroll Hillary so hard, it's going to be sad.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We still got Indiana. And I loved, like, oh my gosh, that guy, the Governor Pence. Governor Mike Pence. Well, there's an inspirational speaker. That guy needs to go back to the Tony Robbins school of something. he endorsed Ted Cruz on the radio.
Yep.
But like, he knows that, like, and here's what I love. It's like all these dudes in Pennsylvania, Trump wins every county in Pennsylvania. Suddenly all the representatives from the state of Pennsylvania are like, you know, that Trump guy, he's not so bad.
I
you
see
know,
the Republicans. He's okay. A lot of Republicans are doing this. The ones that
when
are like,
anybody but Trump.
When you are a politician from the state of Pennsylvania and Trump wins every county, suddenly like, I guess he's not so crazy after all, you know? Makes a lot of sense to me.
I was on your team the whole time.
Yeah, I just couldn't say it because you didn't. Yeah. So Pence knows that there's a lot of people in Indiana that are pro-Trump. So when he had to, he was like, it was like real sticky just watching him endorse Cruz. Because he comes out and he's like, you know, Kasich, listen, I'll tell you this. They're all great. I love them all. They're all great.
And, wishy-washy.
Ooh, that John Kasich, he's something else. And he's a swell fella. And I want to thank Donald Trump. And he means a lot to me. And I like him. And I'm going to knit him a sweater. And he's got a
You can't do that, though. You got to pick a guy.
Well, I'm going to pick a guy. And he's just like, Ted Cruz.
They're all winners to me.
Ted Cruz. He's just like the lamest endorsement ever. And then... And then Donald Trump comes out. He's got Bobby Knight. He got Bobby
Living
Knight,
legend of Indiana right? basketball. Bobby right? Knight. Yes.
The Hoosiers love this guy
as they should.
Like
he won
bananas over.
He won. He won.
Yes,
900 and some odd games, and
that's crazy.
And here's what I love about Bobby Knight. He comes out like the people in Indiana and these kids, they love basketball and they love winning and basketball's awesome and knowing how to win and he points over to where Donald Trump is standing. He goes, and that son of a bitch could play for me any day. And the crowd goes crazy. It's like, do you want Governor Pence going, I like them all,
lady.
Ted Cruz, John Kasich, Ted Cruz. Or do you want that son of a bitch?
You want conviction. You want a guy who's in.
Who's going to grab you by the throat.
And throw a chair.
Yeah, just press you up against a gymnasium wall. So get your head in the game. That appeals to a lot of people. You know what? I had an uncle like Bobby Knight. terrified me as a little kid. But he was just that guy that, like, he would just, like, go, and you better go.
It would inspire you.
Or scare you. Fear, inspiration lives right next door to fear.
Yeah, yeah.
They are neighbors.
Fear will inspire you to do, it will motivate.
Yes. So, it was imperative on the Trump campaign. This is, we were told that he was going to be more presidential. Did you watch his foreign policy speech?
Yes.
Wow, dude.
Not
Jason,
very good.
No. No.
Where exactly is the country of Tanzania?
Oh, man. Tanzania?
Tanzania.
Yeah. It was like, it became very evident very quickly why he likes to just talk off the cuff, right? First of all, it's gotten him this far. You got to dance with the girl that brought you, right?
Yep.
He knows his talking points, blah, 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 blah. And he's a good, he can read the crowd. But man, oh man, his teleprompter speech. And America must be sure to. Looking to the left. It's like he almost read like the parentheticals, you know. It was bad. He needs to go back to teleprompter class. You got to be able to do that.
Well, I would say he needs to go in a different direction, actually, because
just don't use one.
One of the reasons that he needed to rely on the teleprompter is he's kind of falling into the trap that a lot of critics have said about him, where yes, he does have a very strong economic background. He's done well in business. He doesn't know anything about foreign policy, which he wouldn't be expected to because he's never been in political office. So he needs to sit down and needs to hire a Condoleezza Rice type or a Colin Powell type, school him, get the information into his brain so he can Trumpify that.
Yeah. I mean, I would agree, and I think he's going to hire
the best people.
This is all very weird. It's all very weird. It's very reminiscent of like Ronald Reagan.
It is.
It was like the attacks against Ronald Reagan. I'm sure that Donald Trump is going to get, like, when you don't know foreign policy that well, you got to get some people in there that do.
Yeah.
Right? That's a have to. That's not a I might need. No, it's a you gotta. But I think it'd be a huge mistake for him to try to memorize all that stuff. There's no way. When it's Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton in a debate, and she's like, who is the vice president of the Minister of Sales and blah, 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 blah. Donald Trump's like, a guy knows that. I mean, he just don't try to remember it all. Like, he's not going to know names and places. He's just going to have to say, I got a guy for that. Colin, do you want to feel this one?
Actually, if he did get Colin Powell, that would bode very, very well for him. Colin Powell is a...
I don't think Colin Powell's going to be coming back.
Probably not.
I think Colin Powell is still pretty angry over the Iraq war.
Yeah.
Because somebody... And this is dicey for a little political comedy show, but like... They were all very sure of themselves with the Iraq war. Like, here's a satellite photo. Here's where they're moving the nukes. Here's where, and for the record, I would like to say there's an article in the New York Times from ages ago. They did find weapons of mass destruction.
They did.
Just not on the level that we were told. So it's a little, it's.
And he got scapegoated.
Oh.
Very much. I mean, he and Rumsfeld very much got scapegoated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I was watching a history of the CIA thing and all these CIA dudes talking about it. They, all of them, unsure where that stuff came from. Unsure of where. And who's the head of the CIA now?
It's Ash Carter.
Yeah, that guy. What a little dork he is. They're talking about waterboarding, right?
Yep.
And they all are presented with this question. This is like every living head of the CIA. Is in this documentary, and they present this question like, hey, if there's a nuke in New York City and you've got the guy in custody who knows where the nuke is and how to disarm it, I'd waterboard, right? If he's not going to talk, I'd waterboard him. They go to another guy from the CIA. What would you do? Well, he's got the bomb. He knows where to. You got to waterboard him. If he's not talking, you got to waterboard him. They go to Ash Carter. The guy, there's a nuke in Manhattan. There's a guy that knows, and you got him in custody. Are you gonna waterboard him? He goes, I would find another way. I would find it. You know what?
Maybe
hush
they have
your
another
face.
Way.
I don't think he's going to use any kind of. He's not
truth
gonna,
serum.
Yeah. I wish.
Don't
truth
we
serum.
Have stuff like that?
I wish.
Or something?
No, they don't. It's
we
one
don't
of those
have
things,
something we
you
could
only
do.
Only see it in movies, and it's not really.
There's
it doesn't
no
work.
Way we
sodium
could.
Sodium pentothal or whatever.
Don't. Isn't there some sort of computer
the,
program?
The, you know the closest thing we got to truth serum? Booze.
Hey, there.
I tell you
let's
what.
Let's booze board him. He got whiskey
let's
boarded.
Let's take him to a frat house.
And just
at Indiana University.
With the,
beer bongs.
Beer bongs.
He's got to do 50 beer bongs.
Okay, here's what.
I'll talk.
I will tell you
it's
this.
At the Barnes & Noble on 57th.
I'm driving.
And then we go get Mother Bear's Pizza afterwards. Best pizza in the world.
It's going to be the best. I love you guys. You guys are the greatest.
Okay, so the teleprompter speech was not a big hit.
No.
For Mr. Trump. That was not good. Bernie Sanders.
Can this guy just go away already?
No, he's got to stick around.
He's got to go.
You know what he's good for? He's good for the conversation. He's good for America.
He's not good for anything.
Sure he is. Sure he is. And here's the sad news.
He's a snake oil sin. You're going to get free stuff. Here's how stupid people are. They said, you're going to get free health care. Great. And now look what we got. And then they're going to go, you got free college. And they're going to go, great.
I
didn't learn your lesson.
I think that your typical Bernie Sanders voter, they realize taxes will go up.
Yes.
They realize it.
Not for them.
That's what they think. I really think
that
it won't affect them.
And they don't know.
They really think it'll be everyone else's taxes will go up.
That ain't how it works.
No, it's not how it works. And it is a slippery slope, the old socialism. It is a slippery slope. I don't like this thing. Oh, and this is for you. I did this for you. The single payer system, like free college and the government's in charge of college. I think it just demeans college. And it's like a star-bellied Sneetch thing with Dr. Seuss. Then everybody's got a college degree. It's not special. Blah 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 blah. Right. And we still need tradesmen. I still say,
sure.
Let's bring that back. We got to elevate those people. I'm going to go to school and be an electrician. I'm going to go be a carpenter's apprentice.
Plumbers make bank.
Oh, my gosh. I've said it before. I said it on the flip side. If my kids were like, I want to be a plumber. I want to be an electrician. I want to be a awesome. You're gonna make some bread. Big time.
Yeah.
And they need you. But single payer system. I guess they're going
to
try it out.
Explain it to me.
Colorado is getting close to this. Now, this is what I love.
I don't understand
this. This is what I love about America. Everybody, they take the money. Everybody pays a little bit more in taxes. And the government says, here's your official government doctor. And for every medical malady you have, you're taken care of.
That's not what Colorado is trying to use. They want to use what they call the Medicare for All system, where essentially everyone is put in.
I'm sorry. I was talking about like a single payer system.
Well,
I think the dream of a lot of Democrats is, everybody, you pay a little into Social Security. You pay a little bit for medical insurance.
And it's impossible.
And the government picks up the rest.
You can't do it.
But anyway, what you end up getting is
garbage.
The VA.
Yeah.
You get the VA where people are dying left and right.
And putting on lists to don't treat.
Yes, don't treat lists. Death lists that we were talking about last week.
Yeah.
You found an article on CNN.com.
Yeah, they put some soldiers on a no treat list.
Ba-boom.
According to CNN.
Yes.
Which is crazy. The VA is, it's weird because I've talked to soldiers who said, hey, the VA hooked me up, did a great job. Then I've talked to other soldiers that are like, no, man, it's not good.
Well, you can't fail 100% of the time.
Right.
I mean, even a broken clock is right twice a day. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, but if the VA was killing everybody, there'd be an outrage. I think their success rate is just way too low.
I'm reading a book right now called The Lunatic Express, a guy who took those dangerous routes around the most dangerous airlines, trains, planes, circumnavigated the globe. And his first stop, one of the first stops was in Cuba. And he gets there, and he's hanging out with some Cubans, and some of them get sick. And he says, hey, good thing you guys got free health care, huh? They looked at him, and they laughed right in his face. They're like, you think this is free? Let me tell you something. You got to bribe these doctors. You got to give them shampoo bottles, soap, toilet paper, whatever you can find just to get them to talk to you. There's nothing free about our healthcare, brother.
Wow.
And the guy's like, wow, I was under the impression it was free. They said, no. This is not a good system. And Michael Moore has this movie, Sicko, where he literally tries to explain to people how much better Cuba's healthcare system. Well, yeah, if you're a government official.
Yeah.
But the people get garbage.
No, I will tell you this story. A few years back, my mom and my sister and my brother-in-law, they were traveling through Ireland. My mom got a virus, really, just boom, knocked her for a loop. They took her to a hospital in Ireland, and bing, bang, boom. She got in. She saw a doctor.
Now, how
she
are
got
they doing it? Is that single payer?
I believe so.
Yeah. Most of Europe does have a single payer system.
And it's working for them?
Yes. And we should comment that what the Bernie Bros believe, right or wrong, but their point
What'd
of view.
What'd you say?
Is
the Bernie who's?
Bernie Bros? You've never heard that term?
I like
no,
it.
No, the Bernie Bros.
I'm a Bernie bro, man.
Yeah. Yo, bro. I'm a Bernie bro.
Yeah. I'm a burnout.
Feeling the burn, bro.
They're either called Bernie Bros or burners. That's what they call
them. I call
themselves.
Them burnouts.
Burners. I'm a total burner, bro. I'm going to be a burner, bro.
But it's surprising because if you look at them, a lot of them are young, and they believe much the same way that Donald Trump supporters believe. It's like, nope, we're America. We're not going to fall into that trap because everything we do is awesome. We're going to have an awesome single payer
system.
Well,
there might be a grain of truth in that because we can actually adjust ours as we go along.
Yeah.
Here's what I say. Let them figure it out.
State
like
by state.
Colorado. Colorado is trying to do something.
Exactly.
Let's see
but
if it works.
They're not saying do it for the whole country. They're just saying just for us,
just
Colorado.
Just for us. Just for us, Colorado.
If it works, maybe another state will go, hey, that was pretty good. Let's try that.
I am all for that.
All right. Now, hold on. And I should say up front, this isn't funny. But
I killed my grandmother last night.
I want to say that for every comment I make on the podcast is not going to be funny. I just want to throw that out there.
And this is one of the things that has really scared me quite a bit.
Uh-oh.
If you look at what Ted Cruz and what Donald Trump want to do with their tax plans, it's very similar to what Kentucky's been trying. And it hasn't been working out very well for Kentucky. Kentucky has not only needed a federal bailout, but they actually, and this is true, they just had an auction of sex toys just so that they could make up their government deficit.
Now, hold on. Auction of sex toys?
Yes.
In Kentucky?
Yes.
Are these like handcrafted things?
No,
are these
no.
like
it's just like
Civil War era?
It's very it's conservative sheep. In Kentucky. They've had a lot of sex toys that have been confiscated over the years. The
oh, gross!
Well, not used sex toys, or maybe they
no,
were.
No. Listen,
I'd be mad
when I don't think they have it in California, but when I was living in Columbus, Ohio, many
they
years ago,
they confiscated your sex toys.
They did.
Darn it.
They didn't know. Bicycles. I would go down. I would get the best bikes. You go down to the police place and mm-hmm. like people who haven't picked up their stolen bikes or blah, blah, blah. You go down there and they'd have a price tag on it. You
oh,
get
sweet.
Like this real a great bike for like $40. And mm-hmm. they're like, here you go, guy. And like, this is the
so
best.
So you're saying do that with sex
I'm wondering if that did they do that with Kentucky? Is there like a police room full of old like.
Pretty much.
This one's hardly been used.
Oh, it's taken a horrible turn. Oh. Poor Kentucky. So wait a minute. So
what
wait a minute. So Donald Trump and Ted Cruz's tax plans are the tax plans of Kentucky, and it's not working for Kentucky.
Well, yeah, because what Kentucky is, they've basically, and it's very similar to what Reagan pointed out, they have made taxes very, very low with the assumption then that businesses would come in, they would create more jobs.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't. And Ted Cruz and Donald
and what
Trump's,
and what big industries are in Kentucky?
Tobacco?
Bourbon.
Tobacco and bourbon.
Yeah.
And last time I checked, I think bourbon was doing really good.
It
I don't
is.
Know if they can hire the whole state.
They can't.
But I think they're doing all right. I met the guy who runs Jack Daniels. He was a very great guy.
I bet he is.
And you know what? When he was a kid, he had a summer job working at Jack Daniels, moving barrels, worked his way up through the company. Now he runs it.
Nice.
Bing bong. The American Dream's at the front door. Would you like to answer it? Yeah, please. Is awesome.
So
he's an awesome guy. I think. Listen, to say Ted Cruz wants to do this and Donald Trump wants to do that, and it's not working in Kentucky, might be simplifying things. Because the last time I checked, Ronald Reagan's policies worked out great, and I'm enjoying my laptop, I'm enjoying my iPhone, and I'm enjoying all these wonderful things. And this drives me crazy. Here's another great thing about capitalism. And all these, and I'm getting way ahead of myself and behind myself at the same time. Mm-hmm. I do want to say this. Corporations do have to pay taxes.
Yes.
They must. That's what everybody, the Bernie people, the Donald Trump people, all these people are like, listen, you got to pay some taxes, guy. Like GE, you know, when Obama.
They got exempt from all taxes.
Yes.
They didn't have
when
to pay a nickel.
When Obama got elected.
That's crazy.
You're like, okay, transparency. This guy's going to be truthful, blah, blah, blah. And then the dude from GE is visiting the White House all the time and GE's not paying any taxes. What the what? Now, what goes along with that, everybody gets mad at Apple because they have all this money and they're just sitting on all this money and all these crap. They have all this money. They never just sit on money.
No.
Okay? Everybody who thinks they never do, there's a little thing that's called research and development. Mm-hmm. They research new products. They try to come out with so the next invention is going to be great. That is where we got the mouse for the computer. That is where we got Windows. That is like a lot of great inventions, and it's in the movies that you can see. Steve Jobs and what's his dude for Microsoft.
Bill Gates.
They went into like Xerox and IBM, and the people from Xerox and IBM are like, don't let these guys into our research and development department. They're going to steal all these inventions. They're like, well, we're not doing anything with them. And they went in. They took a tour of these R&D departments and ching, 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 ching. All right, I can use this, and I'm working on this computer. I could use this technology with that, and then boom, 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 boom. And it's this huge explosion. And that's what, I firmly believe in trickle down. I just think it takes a lot longer to trickle down.
Haven't seen nothing trickle up in nature.
What the what? Boom. No, I haven't seen. Nature abhors a trickle up.
No, I haven't seen it much. If, the honey don't trickle right up into the beehive. Trickles kind of out and down out of it. I think gravity works one way only. It doesn't.
Yeah, and you know what? If you're a scientist out there and you're enjoying the Loftus party and a good laugh, could you please get your people to work on gravity?
Michael, what's your problem with gravity?
I will tell you what my problem is with gravity. Like, Newton, like, figured it out, right? And everybody's like, okay, we've figured out gravity. No! We have not figured out gravity. Nobody knows how to turn it off. Nobody. We're all like, it's just this thing that you can't stop. Like, light, you can stop light. Look, I put my hand up. Boom. Stopped a big hunk of light. Can we please learn how to stop? It's the only way we're going to get to, like, anything that looks like Star Wars or Star Trek in our lives.
Hoverboards.
Right? Can we? That's all we need. It's just figure out gravity. Dude. Let's figure out how to turn off a little bit of gravity.
Just don't turn us into Krypton, please.
Oh my gosh. Now you've done it.
Uh-oh.
Now you've done it.
Uh-oh.
I went back because, like, I'm really angry with Zack Snyder. Like, really angry with that guy.
Yeah.
He's ruining some characters that I desperately love.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I've had so many conversations with so many people about this. I apologize if we did this on the last episode, but buckle up, America. Here we go again. Marvel Comics. Their movies are great.
Yes.
They have a dude who is in charge of that universe.
Kevin Feige.
Yes. He loves these characters. He knows these characters. And if he doesn't, he's got someone on the payroll who does, and the universe works. Everything works.
And he doesn't change the characters fundamentally.
Oh, my Lord in heaven. DC Comics and Warner Brothers desperately needs that person.
Yes.
I would like to be that person, okay? And I have a slew.
You're throwing your hat in the ring?
Yes, I am. I'm not going to stand idly by and just watch them turn Superman into a murderous thug and have him Batman just blowing people's brains out with guns and trying to kill Superman, who's not really the good guy. Now he's like this anti-hero. No, Superman is a good guy, okay? And let's brighten up the suit a little bit. Okay, it was neat to look at for one. I went back and watched Man of Steel again. It starts off pretty strong, but let's tell you what. Warner Brothers put me in the editing room. I can lift like 20 minutes out of that sucker and make it a lot better, okay? Superman versus Batman, complete and total disaster. I don't want to get way
off.
It
had a couple of good moments, I thought, but overall, it had a lot of real issues.
No, the more you think about it, there's nothing good about it.
So, Michael, you may have actually been granted a reprieve from DC because the word came out this week that Ben Affleck, who is directing and co-writing the solo Batman movie,
yeah,
he basically went to DC and said, look, if we're going to do this, I need autonomy. It's going to be me. It's going to be Jeff Johns. We're writing the script. We get to make this the way we know this
okay,
needs to be
who
made.
Is Jeff Johns?
Jeff Johns is basically the head of all comics for DC. He's also a writer.
Okay, thank
on,
the Lord. Thank the Lord for Ben Affleck. I never thought I would say this sentence in my life. Thank the Lord for Ben Affleck.
Hey, I think the guy will do a good job. Did you see Argo?
Here's the deal. Yeah.
Very good movie.
No, I did.
I think he's a good director, man.
I tell
man.
You what, if you open up Frank Miller's The Dark Knight, right, and you read you read that great graphic.
Awesome.
Right? And you're like, oh, Ben Affleck's that guy. Ben Affleck looked great.
He did. He's a good
guy,
Batman.
The guy who plays Superman. Great. The problem
bad
is
script,
with,
though.
Yes. Yes.
You know? But I really think Affleck will do a good job. I really do.
Here's the biggest concern, is that what they're saying is Chris Terrio, who wrote Argo, he's writing the Justice League script solely on his own. He co-wrote with David Goyer the Batman v Superman script.
Mm.
So we don't know what we're going to end up with.
If Affleck is steering him in the right direction, we should be okay. And if he hires Casey Affleck.
And here's what everybody needs to do. Here's what you need
to do. I don't know.
Casey Affleck, that kid's talented.
Hey, I like him.
I tell you what, there's your Jimmy Olsen.
We already killed Jimmy Olsen.
What about Robin?
You know what? They didn't. And that you don't. Thank you. God, you're right on it today. Stop doing this.
Yeah.
I swear to God, I don't want to cuss on this podcast. I just do. I get so pissed off about it.
Cut it out.
Stop. Like Lex Luthor has this girl who works for him, Mercy, right? She's the chauffeur. She's an assassin. She's kung fu. She's awesome. She's completely dedicated to Lex Luthor. They went out of their way to kill her in that movie. Who is served by that? Stop doing it. And it pisses me off in the Superman versus Batman movie. Why? You get nothing out of it. You get nothing out of killing that character. And then they did it in Transformers. Let Michael Bay. Hey, dude, if you don't love the Transformers, if you don't flipping love those things, stop making the movies. Like, they go out of their way to kill, like, it doesn't move the plot forward. It doesn't do anything. It's just like, we've looked at this at surveys, and we think we should have a moment of sadness now. Hey, you know what? Let's kill Ironhide, but won't the kids be... No, let's just kill him.
I think they're thinking, oh, and then people will talk about it. It'll be controversial. They killed the character.
I tell you what, reboot that entire franchise.
And you could do it.
Absolutely.
It's too late.
Like, why?
Because those wheels are greased and they are heading in that direction. Suicide Squad is already coming out.
Oh, Suicide Squad will be great.
Justice League is already in production.
Oh my gosh, Wonder Woman flies coach. Wonder Woman is
she's
putting
got
her
an invisible jet and she's flying coach.
And her bracelets can stop a beam the size of a truck. Like, listen, I watched these with my kids. There was a great Superman animated series on. Mm-hmm. With Tim Daly did the voice of Superman, Dana Delaney was Lois Lane, all-star, just great cast. And the physics there of Superman and how everything works and like how things that hurt Superman, it's just great. It's just fantastic. Anybody who's thinking about doing a Superman movie, Superman the Animated Series, go watch that. Then Ben Affleck, go read those Frank Millers. Read
I'm
the
sure
Dark
he has.
Knight. Oh, he's go read them again, and go over to frickin' Zack Snyder's house. Leave
and
a
punch
stack
him in the face.
And hey, leave a stack of them.
Time out. Let me ask you a question.
Michael. Yes,
you have two kids.
Yes.
How did they feel about Batman versus Superman? Did
they thought
enjoy
it looked good.
They thought
it looked good. It's like, listen, man. When I was a little kid, they would show the Adam West Batmans on in the afternoon.
Now bring that guy back,
right? And Batman. Hey, Robin, we have to get to the Joker. Now,
I love that guy.
I'm a wee little man, right? And it's on like on Sundays. Every once in a while on Sunday, they would show the movie. There was a movie. And I'm just like locked in because that Batmobile is cool. It's right down the street. You can go over on Riverside and the Batmobile. So I'm a little kid. I'm watching this like it's Batman. And in my mind, I'm already like, well, they couldn't do the suit right. So they had to do that. They couldn't do this right. And my dad would be sitting on the couch laughing. And I would get so mad, you know.
What was he laughing at?
Because it was a comedy, dude. It was a straight up comedy. I didn't know that. I thought it was Batman and Robin. I was like,
drama.
No, right? And like the Joker, Cesar Romero, that actor, mm-hmm. didn't even shave his mustache.
Like,
he would just put the makeup on over the mustache because he's like, this isn't really going anywhere. But that's just it.
Jeez.
To a little kid, I saw it for, oh, it's the Batmobile. Da-da. So I liked it for one thing. My dad's laughing, and I'm like, why is he laughing at Batman? And it's like me, as a grown-up, I'm looking at like, oh, what a waste. What a waste. You've got all the money in the world. You've got Warner Brothers behind it. You've got all this great stuff. And then, yeah.
But what I'm saying, were your kids at all disappointed in it, or were they into it?
They were into it, like, in terms of there's Batman and Superman are fighting. Like when we're talking about on the way home, you know, and it's like, Martha, your mom's name's Martha? My mom's name's Martha. We should be best friends.
That was very problematic.
And then,
why didn't they rewrite that?
And then my son was like, Batman was shooting guns. Like, that doesn't seem like, yep. And then when you talk about it, but then you're a kid, and I don't want to make them not like it, you know, but it's like, it's not like The Force Awakens, right? They're like, when does that come out on DVD?
Yeah.
When does that come out on Blu-ray?
They're not fired up about the DVD.
No, no. And because it's just, it's one of those things.
See, this
is
why I think your argument really stands up, because the kids should be fired up for this. And if they would have stuck to the page, maybe they would have been.
Yeah. Well, they wanted to skip too many stuff. And right now, it's a weird thing. There's a bad guy named Darkseid.
Yep.
In the DC universe, mm-hmm. who is eerily similar to the bad guy in the Marvel universe.
Thanos.
Yeah, Thanos. But we've already seen him. We've already seen him. So now if DC does it and they try to, it's going to look like, ooh, they're just copying off of Marvel.
That
so they are
Joss
stuck.
Joss Whedon's mic drop at the end of Avengers. Like, he was like, if DC ever does a shared universe, they're going to go after Darkseid. That's going to be their big bad.
You have to do Darkseid.
Yeah.
You have to do Darkseid. So, he's the only guy that's a challenge for Superman.
And he just established Thanos, and we're getting Thanos as the big bad in Avengers Infinity War 1 and 2.
Ba-boom.
When are we getting the Marvel DC crossover Avengers versus Justice League?
Never. There was actually a time in the 90s where I believe Marvel was about to buy DC.
Holy smoke, that'd be crazy.
Because they were in
You could have Batman versus the Hulk.
Yeah.
That's what I'm waiting for.
But that didn't end up. It might have been flipped. It may have been. Because Marvel's gone through bankruptcy so many times, which is why we don't have the X-Men in the shared Marvel universe right now, because Fox owned those rights.
Oh, wow.
I got screwed with Marvel back in the 90s.
What'd you do? You bought stock?
I bought stock in Marvel. I bought stock in Marvel Comics. I'm like, here it comes. Here it comes. I love these characters. I love these stories.
So what happened?
Here's what happened. The movies were doing really well. Mm-hmm. Like a Spider-Man came out, the first one with Tobey Maguire. Mm-hmm. Loved it. Loved the second one.
Yep.
Right? Really good. And then the comic books, the actual physical comic books, weren't doing well. And so people are, what's the stock doing? What's the stock doing? And then the comic books, they wanted to do bankruptcy and reformulate their business, protective bankruptcy.
So what happens to your stock money?
Well, you know what? A federal judge said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do like a King Solomon deal and cut this right down the center.
Mm. Right? So your stock got cut in half?
So it was like literally if there was like 500 shares of stock, this guy went to stock number 250, like right in the middle. Mm-hmm. Everybody 250 and below, you get the comic books. Everybody 250 and above, you get the movies. And I got the comic books and it was just worthless.
Are you hanging on to it?
No. Oh. It was nothing. It was just nothing.
I'd hang on to it. I'd ride it all the way because you never know. Maybe they'll do a digital comic book platform that gets
takes
off.
Tried it. It doesn't work.
Oh,
it doesn't work.
I'd still hang on to it.
It does not work. You want that paper in your hand. I love books. You know, I have a Nook, but I like, but just a digital comic doesn't work. I like this theme. I like talking about things that don't work. And we have to key on this. Naming a vice presidential candidate before you have the nomination locked up when you're not, like, leading. Like, if Trump, like, it's Cruz. Cruz, like, nominated, he did Carly Fiorina, right? He's like, here's my running mate. And you're like, this is a bit odd. You know, he wants to dominate the news cycle.
It's putting the cart before the horse a little
bit.
But
here's the deal. I like Carly Fiorina. I have a lot of respect for her. I like her a lot. And then, man, oh, man, she ended it all with one little. She really did. I mean, like, I still like her, but like her political aspirations, she gave a little.
She seemed like a cuckoo bird.
Should we just share this?
Let's share it with America.
I know two girls that I just adore. I'm so happy I can see them more. 'Cause we travel on the bus all day. We get to play. We get to play.
She's just riffing. You know what? She's like, Ted Cruz wants me to be his vice president. I'm going to go out there and talk about how he's going to make America better and how his vision for America is going to help everyone. And we're going to turn this country around. And then you know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to just riff a little
Sing
song.
Sing a little song.
I
know two girls that I just adore.
Which, you know, and then everybody laughs because everybody, it's like that thing of like, oh, do I know that song? That's what they're like, oh, that's that. And then they're realizing, oh, I don't know that song.
This girl's just crazy.
No, that's an old classic from Call Me Madam.
From Call Me Madam?
Yeah, Donald O'Connor and Ethel Merman famously sang.
So she's got to pay to use that?
Technically, it's a parody. I don't know if she's actually going to get charged for it.
Okay. Oh, my God. I thought she was just riffing. That's an actual song?
About. It's an actual song. But we've talked about that we need politicians to stop trying to be cool when they aren't.
I don't think singing that song makes you try to look cool.
And she was trying to cue from Obama because Obama – here, listen. This is Obama.
Hold on. I know exactly what you're going to do. I know exactly what you're going to do. And it's painful. It's painful. But like, cause you get like Republican white woman singing, I know two girls that I, and it's just like nervous laughter. And then when Obama sings,
so in love with you. Like him or not? That's
oh my weird. Gosh! And that crowd is—that's very.
Of course,
smooth.
The crowd goes wild. He's got psychotic.
Want to do. Now listen.
He's got psychotic followers who are morons and think that.
I tell you what.
They have no idea. The guy's the worst leader ever, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, he can sing. He's so brilliant." The guy's a disaster.
That was great.
The guy's been. Look,
that was great.
It wasn't that.
You good. Don't like Al Green?
I love Al Green.
There
I don't
you
like
go.
Obama.
And you don't think that was a good cover?
You
of,
know what
of,
I want to see a president do? Put some good policies out there
well,
and not
well, listen,
sing Al Green.
Listen, we said it on the show before. Obama, I wish I want Belt my sure Obama.
If he sang anything, they would go, oh, it's great.
No, but
I tell you what, if
well.
Listen, if Obama came out and went, I know two girls that I
the crowd would go wild. He's a genius. He adores those girls.
But that's it. He's cool.
He cares about little girls.
That.
And
he knows how to play the mic.
He's going
to
give me free health care. That I have to pay triple for.
I'm so in love with you. It
all
was great. Oh my gosh. It was great.
Guys.
Now listen, if Ted Cruz came out and started doing Hunka Hunka Burning Love or something, I'd be like, I'll give this guy, I might vote for that. Ted Cruz should do an Elvis impression. Now, oh my gosh. Remember when Ted Cruz did the Simpson thing? Smithers did it. I'm like, oh. Who let him do that? Who's
the
oh,
guy's way out of touch.
Here's a good idea. You're going to be running for president. Let's get you on camera impersonating Mr. Burns. That's like the worst thing ever.
That'll get you
the
votes.
The show has come. We've come full circle now. Yeah. We started with Mr. Burns, but we can't close it out with Mr. Burns.
No.
But that was great. Obama singing, and he does great. He cracks great jokes. He had a better set last night, seriously, than Larry Wilmore, the host of what is it, the Nightly
the
Show?
The Nightly Show, yeah.
Was the host of the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Obama had a great set. I mean, the guy, he can tell a great joke. He did a great joke talking about, like, you know, it's my, you know, I've been here for a long time. I got a few months left, and a lot of people are leaving. You know, so-and-so, she left, and she took a job for this media company. So-and-so, she left, and she's going to be the new host of CBS This Morning. And Jake Tapper is getting out of, you know, journalism and taking a job with CNN. It was like, boom,
that's boom! That's a good line.
It's a great joke,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's a good line.
I felt bad for Larry Wilmore. He just, it was not the best show.
How much money did he
make? You know what? I have to think he probably did it for free.
Really?
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a big honor.
That's not a gig where you get paid big money.
But here's the deal. It's like, as a performer, and he was taking a lot of heat the next day for some of the language, blah, blah, blah. He just didn't have a great set. He had a funny riff about the Zodiac Killer. That was pretty funny. But blah, blah, he'll get him next year. He'll get a good time. But that Obama, he can crack a joke. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for Michaeltopias. We got extra time this week because there's a ton. I have got my panties in a bunch, as they say. Michaeltopia, you can live in the real world where things are all crazy and cuckoo and Lord knows what'll happen, where all of a sudden a vice presidential candidate will start, I know two girls that I adore. And then you've got Michaeltopia, where things make sense. And it's a wonderful. So let's go there now, shall we?
Let's do this.
All like right. It. Who has got a...
I've got one.
I got one. Okay. In Michaeltopia, my guests on my radio program don't chew M&Ms directly into the microphone.
They're damn good, though. Why do you put them in front of me? Don't put them right in
it
front
is
of me.
It's like, you don't have to eat them.
I come to the... the bowl right in front of my microphone. What am I supposed to do? They're M&Ms.
Are we being recorded?
Yes.
Look, You can't help it when M&Ms are in front of you. You can't control yourself. They're M&Ms. You can go, I'm not going to eat that M&M. And then your hand creeps down. And you're like, stop.
My goodness, they're delicious, aren't they?
You got these with peanut butter ones?
Oh, dude, it's a mix.
Oh,
there's regular. There's peanut butter. There's also peanut M&Ms. You know what I gave up on? Pretzel M&Ms. When they first came out, they were great. Then they changed the something with them. But those things are not good. Like
it's not their best.
Brought to you by Mars, the candy that you love.
I tell you what,
they should sponsor us because I'll eat these things on the air every week.
Stop eating them into the microphone.
But they're so good.
Okay, in Michaeltopia, no one uses the phrase virtually all. Virtually all is not a thing. It's like a George Carlin bit all of a sudden. I'm watching The Scroll this morning, and it's like Ted Cruz won virtually all of the delegates. Like, what, virtually all?
Does that mean almost all?
Yes, most is what it means.
Most.
A lot. The majority of. You can't say virtually all. Virtually all. It's like more than all of them. No. You can't use virtually all.
Virtually all my hair fell out.
Andrew.
All right.
No, it didn't. But look. You still have more hair. Okay.
All right.
All right, here we go. In Michaeltopia, when we read quote-unquote scientific studies that sound stupid, we're not going to share them on Facebook. Did you read this week? Some guy comes out and he said, did you know that when you hug your dog, it makes your dog sad?
What?
Yep. This was a quote-unquote scientific study. Then everyone picked up on it. It started making the rounds. After the fact, do you know what his science was?
Huh.
He looked at pictures of people hugging dogs on Google and Flickr and saw that the dogs had their ears facing down.
Oh.
Which generally means they're unhappy.
Oh, bummer. Well, that's scientific. The hidden world of dogs.
Yeah, and it's more.
There were no scientists involved.
There were no scientists. And when
it's like climate change.
And I'm very sorry to tell you this.
Seriously.
Drinking a glass of red wine every day is not as good as running a mile.
Oh,
listen. What if you run and drink a glass of wine at the same time?
I would like to record you when you do that.
I'll be stained up.
There's always some science. There's always some new journal study coming out. Hey, it turns out red wine is good for you.
One year they'll say butter is bad for you. It will kill you. Then a year later they'll say, no, butter will make you live forever.
We sound so old. We sound so old.
It's
right
true,
now.
Though.
It is.
That we're old.
Dude, listen. I remember when my mom, she used to cook eggs. On the weekend, we'd have these big breakfasts, big family, blah, blah, blah. We'd have eggs and toast and bacon and the whole nine, right? And then one year, it was like, eggs are the devil himself.
I remember that.
We didn't even get into. Frickin' Boehner. Boehner called Ted Cruz Lucifer in the flesh.
And then Satanists got upset.
They don't want to be associated with Ted Cruz.
Exactly.
He's
or
insulted.
John Boehner.
The Zodiac Killer.
Oh, man. That's just,
What were we talking about? How did we get to this?
Oh, so the eggs were bad. Eggs were bad, right? Eggs were the Ted Cruz. Eggs were Lucifer in the flesh. And then a couple of years ago, I went to the doctor for my checkup. The doctor's like, hey, it's not bad, but your cholesterol, you might want to keep an eye on it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, really? Well, I tell you what, I'll stop eating eggs right now. And he's like, no. Eggs are great. He's like, the benefits you get from eating eggs far outweighs the bad stuff.
Sure.
Eggs are awesome. Mm-hmm. Sorry, chickens. We got to keep you locked up for a few more years.
I've got grandparents who literally lived to 98 years old. They ate bacon twice a day. I watched them. They would eat bacon for breakfast. Then my grandma would go at night, just cook some bacon and eggs again because we could afford it. And then my grandfather, he smoked literally two packs of Marlboros every day, but he was out working.
Yeah.
And he lived to be 98. I'm talking bacon, eggs, cigarettes. Mm-hmm. I think it's all bull. I think, different people are different. You can't just say that this is bad and this is good. And
no.
What I'm saying is start smoking.
Yes.
If you want to live.
Okay. Who has a Michaeltopia?
I
just went.
Okay.
If you left Mexico because it sucks, you can't wave a Mexican flag in America. Sorry.
That's your Michaeltopia?
That's it.
You're talking about the guys who are protesting at the Trump thing?
There's these guys at the protesting Trump, and they're waving Mexican flags, and then
but isn't that like an in-your-face thing? Isn't that what they're saying? Hey, I'm Mexican, yeah. Come get me.
And I'm willing to bet they're not even actually Mexican. They just want to go, nah, 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 nah.
Yeah.
These guys are Mexican.
I think that's what it is. However, I will say this, and this goes into my Michaeltopia as well, because they were like tearing down the barricades and stuff.
Yeah.
Guess what you get? In Michaeltopia, you are allowed to protest. You're allowed to. In Michaeltopia, we believe in freedom of speech. And if you want to go wave your flag and yell whatever you want, you're allowed to yell. In Michaeltopia, the instant you break the law, you get arrested. You are in trouble. You just don't stand idly by. And this is what happened. It happened in Iraq the other day in the green zone. All these protesters came out and they're like, they're tearing down the wall, literally, that keeps our citizens safe in Baghdad. And you're like, you have to. This and it's what I think the problem is with the Middle East. You need law and order. Okay, the Sunnis hate the Shias and the Sheena, and da, 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 and this guy's uncle now is in charge of the cops, and this guy, like, if someone commits a crime, there are no repercussions because you're connected politically, and that is the problem. The wonderful thing that our founding fathers did for this country, I swear to God, I believe this, law and order. If a rich guy steals something from a poor guy, the poor guy can sue him and get his stuff back, and that guy's in trouble. That's just it. We're all equal under the law. You can sell that. I don't think you can impose freedom on a civilization. You, however, can give them like law and order. And people, I think everybody wants that. They want someone took my stuff. That guy should be in trouble.
Well, yeah. Unless the rich guy's got a better lawyer than the poor guy, then that changes.
Well, that will always happen. But hey, you commit a crime.
But my point was, if you don't want to live in Mexico. Why are you waving the flag here?
Because it's neener, neener, neener.
No.
They're like,
well, that's not good enough.
Because it's like, it's in a death spiral now. They're like, Donald Trump hates all Mexicans.
Which is
so
silly.
I'm going to go.
He doesn't.
Exactly. But that is the belief. That is the belief on the left.
I love Mexicans. I would love to go to Mexico. One day I will go to Mexico. I love the culture. I love the people, the food. And I want as many Mexicans in America as possible. However, I think that they need to go through the legals to get here.
Yes.
But people see that and they go, oh, yeah, well, you hate all Mexicans. Right. Donald Trump goes, hey, we might want to check some of the people. He hates all Muslims.
And that is the left.
No. Let's be fair. We are factual here. He said he would keep all Muslims out at least for a period of time until they figured out what
he
was
said he would
on.
Pump yes. the brakes. That doesn't mean he hates all Muslims and wants to stop them.
Right.
We've got Muslims coming in. We don't know who they've got no papers. We've got no way to find out who they are.
So if we
can't figure out who you are, you don't come in.
Before we go into a death spiral of blah, 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 it's like common knowledge. Like the FBI, everybody says, like, listen, there's no way to tell who's doing what.
You can't come in.
You can't look into somebody's soul.
No,
you can't look and see if somebody has, like, so I think we have to take a look at our policy and da-da-da. We just got to pump the brakes. Let's slow down. I think what people don't like about Donald Trump is the way he says it. He says things like, we got to stop Muslims from coming in until we can figure out what the heck's going on.
He doesn't sugarcoat it, that's for sure.
It's not sugarcoated, and it's really like splat. But like, I think that there's a point there. Like, but you're never going to be able to look into somebody's soul, you know, and that's the other big problem. America's very generous. We have like a million people who come in. So many people come to this country. We have a very, very generous immigration system, but you got to have borders. I'm one of those guys. You can't just let everybody in.
You can't.
Because you don't listen, if we can't take everybody, and that doesn't mean you hate all people of a certain race.
Well,
but that's
I
why
do.
They're waving the Mexican. You know what really bummed me out? Well, it's not a comedy. In Michaeltopia, rappers are not allowed to brag anymore.
Boy, that's going to make rap tricky.
Here's the deal. Here's what I've noticed. Every time I listen to a rap song, the old white man said, everybody's like, my car is the best, my parties are the best, my this is the best, all that. But like, no. You all can't, not everyone is the best. Now we're talking
there's only one the best.
There's always one the best. That's it. So I'm gonna think it's Jay-Z,
no.
Right?
No, he's not. No. He's not.
It's not Kanye. Kanye's
no,
in.
No, it's not Kanye.
So who is the best?
Eminem.
Who has the bit? No. Who has the biggest party? Who has the most cars? Who has the most lavish lifestyle?
Right now, in that realm, it's pretty much a, I know you hate this term, but virtually a tie between Drake and Odd Future.
And these guys are both goofs. In my day, when
Drake and Odd Future are bigger than Jay-Z.
Absolutely, because Jay-Z in the rap game.
No, I'm talking net worth.
But that's because Jay-Z's made more money outside of rap than he has.
Well, hey,
Is he still a musical artist? Does he still come out with albums and songs?
It's been a while, actually.
Well, I think he can say he is the best. I think he has the most lavish lifestyle.
Well,
I think it's got
to
be.
I will give it to
be,
you
know what?
For one reason.
In Michaeltopia, there is a rapper like Federation Belt. This is the best idea ever. And we could have a competition.
Federation Belt?
Yes. And that guy gets to brag.
I don't know what Federation Belt.
You get like a rapper. You go like Eminem versus Jay-Z in a free form, and one of them is left standing. He gets the belt and he gets to brag about his lifestyle.
And I can tell you why Jay-Z actually does win. Because it's not about the lifestyle. It's not about the music.
Wait, you just said Drake won.
Word.
He banged Beyonce.
There it is.
That's not one word.
That gives him some. Well,
no, Beyonce.
If you say it real quick, it is. Get back, Beyonce.
Beyonce.
You just run it together
word.
All into
they're
one.
They're breaking
word.
Up.
Yeah. How about
no,
that?
No, no, they're not breaking up.
Yay.
She roasted him, dude.
I believe
she roasted
in love.
Him.
I believe in
there
love.
There may be marital issues, but they are not breaking up.
She roasted him pretty good.
I don't care what happened in Lemonade. They are not breaking up.
Now, wait a minute.
That song is out there forever, and she's talked some smack, bro.
And it doesn't matter.
And now, is he going to have a diss song about her?
No, because he can't. You know why?
No, right, right.
She's Beyonce.
Oh, I could roast the hell out of Beyonce.
And
wait a minute. Wasn't
I'm going to do it now.
Wasn't it Beyonce's sister that like smacked him in an elevator?
Yeah.
And he took that.
He handled
was, like,
it very
he
well.
He was the bigger
he handled
man
it
about
very
that.
Well, I thought.
Yeah. And anyway, and in Michaeltopia, but this goes with that. It's like this whole like recipe for pop songs must be stopped. It's driving me crazy how someone will the girl sings this little hook and it's like one line, you know, cause you gotta go to work, gotta go to work, and then some guy comes in rapping, "I got all the money, my lifestyle's the best, gotta go
you
to
what?
Work." It's
I'm
just
introduce you to
horrible.
Little Dicky after the podcast, and
I don't know if I want you to introduce me to your little Dicky. I'm sorry, you can keep that in your pants.
It's just horrible. There's like so many songs where like the girl's got one hook, she sings it over and over, and then some get. It used to be special. It used to be special.
And
like,
rap has been sissified. Like when I was growing up, it was Biggie and Tupac. They were gangsters talking. They shot and killed each other. That's gangster.
Yeah.
And now you got Drake going, "You never call me on the cell phone."
You know what? I'm done. I'm happy.
Tupac
that,
would never complain about a woman not calling him. He'd hit her with the cell phone.
But that
in the
music,
face.
That music didn't speak to me.
It violence spoke to me.
Against women is not okay.
I like.
Well, in rap, it's all right if they ask for it, right?
No, I don't know. Oh. I don't know. I'm like. I miss the fun music. I miss having fun with music.
Yeah.
You know? And like when I remember my buddy Rick was like, you know, total black dude, totally
Rick
into,
Walker?
Oh, yeah. And just like NWA came out and I just saw his head just, it was like me hearing The Clash for the first time, you know? I heard The Clash like, yeah! And yeah. I'm like, I'm not some struggling working guy from England, but whatever. And like he heard NWA and he's like, oh, Mike, you got it. Like lost his mind, he puts it in the CD player, and I'm listening, and I'm like, yee. It was wasted on me. It was wasted on me. I like the hip.
They shouldn't talk about police officers like this. It's very disrespectful, if you
ask
my opinion.
And in Michaeltopia, you're not allowed to bring people into Congress because of something they sang. That was horrible. Thank you, Al and Tipper Gore. Everybody forgets that. That was horrible. We don't like your music. You're in trouble with the government. That's scary.
What's so funny is they demanded these labels on the music, the parental advisories, and then the music sales went up. Yeah. All the kids were like, I got to get this. This is awesome. I'm not supposed to listen.
Yeah.
Sign
me
up.
That is the show. Oh, my gosh. It goes by so fast. I love it, love it, love it. Thanks for joining us on the Loftus Party. The website is coming along, theloftusparty.com. You're going to need to check that out in the very, very, very near future. Big changes are coming. I'm super excited about it. Twitter, Flipside Loftus.
At Flipside Loftus.
At Flipside Loftus. I think everybody knows use the little at, you know, the little at symbol now.
Yeah, but it's the vernacular.
Oh, and new episodes of The Flipside air this weekend. Check it out.
Who
it's
do we got?
On Oh my gosh, we have Michelle Bachman is a guest, and the comedian. Oh my gosh, he's in. He's in with that Judd Apatow crew. Wayne Fetterman.
Oh yeah, that
funny,
was good.
Funny dude. So make sure you check out the new episodes of the show. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you check out my buddy's podcast, So Fresh, So Prince.
So Fresh, So Prince on iTunes and SoundCloud and Stitcher.
Jason, and yours.
The Road to Ruin.
And here's a big help. If you get a chance, and if you want to, you could give us 5 stars. It's an algorithm thing. I don't hate the player. Hate the game.
Go to iTunes.
Ahoy, hoy.
Subscribe.